Blog Talk Radio.
Friday morning for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show today. I hope you're feeling successful. I hope you're feeling great. I hope that you feel like you are on top of the world. Well, if not, don't worry. It is my job to get you there. Yes, I have been anointed and commissioned, assigned, as you will, to get you there. That's my assignment. I'm okay with it. I'm comfortable with it. You know, it's just something about understanding where you are placed, your position, and all that God has for you. Well, good morning and welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show. I am your host, Coach Lalisa J. Williams. You know that funny name, Lalisa. I remember growing up, I absolutely hated my name. I just thought, what a foolish name. And I just, for a long time, I had a lot of resentfulness toward my mother. I thought, what a bright woman. My mother, I always thought my mother was so smart, you know. She graduated high school and did well in school, had the report cards to prove it, and she was, you know, just really, really a dynamic woman. But I couldn't figure out how she made the mistake of giving me a name like Lalisa. Where did that come from? Well, time went on. I grew up, grew older, and actually today I've come to love the name. And I thank God, I can't remember every little detail, but I'm pretty sure that I at least communicated to her. Well, I know I communicated it because I went from Lisa, because growing up, you could not convince me my name was Lalisa. It was Lisa only, that's it. Lisa Robinson. And then later on, I began to use Lalisa. So I believe that if I didn't tell her how happy I was for the name, at least I demonstrated that by, and she knew I didn't like Lil Lisa growing up. I mean, I let her know, I told her, and she never apologized for naming me that. My mother was the type of woman, she wasn't about to apologize for it. As a matter of fact, she would say, before I take it back, I'm going to add to it. That's the kind of woman she was. But no, she didn't apologize, but she allowed me to just be Lisa and to act as though that wasn't my name. So I did respect her for that, because she never, you know, was a crybaby about it. Like, so why don't you like this name that I picked? She never did that. And then when I became older, I actually enjoyed having a name that was, in my opinion, unique and different. But of course, growing up as a child, who wants to be different or unique? I mean, children don't always understand that. They have to be taught that. And I just learned so much in life later, just about teaching, period. And there were things that I remember as a child thinking, I'm no good at this, or I'm no good at that, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. And it wasn't until I was in my 30s, sitting at Essex County College, taking my first psychology 101 course, and I know some people take these courses when they're in high school even, and some their first year, they take it in college, and maybe they went to college at 18, right out of high school, and they learned this. But it wasn't until I was in my 30s that I went back to college, took my first psychology course, only to find out that most of what we do and know is we're taught, as opposed to my old thinking was that you came here equipped with these things. And just so therefore, if you don't have them, you're missing something, you're broken, you're you know, half done, you're like a cake that's half baked. Nobody wants to eat that. Most foods people don't like to eat half done, but some foods taste good raw, but not cake, okay? Not half baked. So there you have it, you know. Things can, you know, life, you got to go through life. You have to, well, anyway, so we're talking today about, I just thought I'd throw that in as I was introducing myself to those of you. Good morning, welcome. If you're celebrating, as a matter of fact, let me stop on over to my, see, technology is just absolutely wonderful. Let me just say that. See if there's any birthdays. Ha ha. Chanel, good morning. Happy birthday. Stephen. These are my friends, but if your name is Stephen and today is your birthday, you can act as though I'm talking to you. But good morning and happy birthday, Stephen. And Vivian. Good morning, Vivian. Happy birthday. Happy birthday from Coach Lalisa and the whole Coach Lalisa team. Well, it is a great, great, great morning. And you may say, why? Why? Why is it so great? Because you're here. You're alive. Your eyes are open. Your ears are open. And your mind is working. That right there, and you're breathing. Okay, so I just gave you four powerful reasons to be grateful that today is a great day. One, you can see, you can hear. Your mind, you have your right mind. And you can breathe. Go on. Take a breath. One deep breath. Just one deep one. You know, and you take that deep breath. Come on. And then hold it. And then let it out slowly. Okay, one more time, because I know some of y'all didn't get a chance to do it. One deep breath. Hold it. And then let it out. So look at that. Right there gives you such a realization about life. Without that breath, trust me, there would be some serious problems in your life. You can take the breath. You can take it on your own. That in and of itself is enough to shout all the way from New Jersey to Florida. Just the fact that you can breathe, you have your right. Then the fact that you're in your right mind. If you don't know what the value of being in your right mind, you ought to go to the crazy house or whatever they call them, where people are not in their right mind. Go there. Check it out. Believe me, you will come away understanding the power of being in your right mind. Remember back when we were kids, the church that I belonged to, the saints would stand up and testify. We had testimony every Sunday. That was a regular part of the service. So, yeah, our services went long on Sunday. You didn't get out of there until about 4 o'clock, and then you just went upstairs, ate dinner, came back downstairs for 7 o'clock service. That's what Sundays were like in my household. So, you know, started with the morning, Sunday school, went through the service, and it lasted long because we did testimony. And some, at least a good 10 testimonies every Sunday, no fewer than 10. And in this particular church, one time we were, because we went to the Church of the Living God, and they had several temples. So we were downtown Race Street for a while, 1224 Race Street, under Pastor Reese. And then we went out to where my grandfather was, because this was the man who my father, you know, took as a father. And so we, you know, we knew him as grandfather. And we went to his church, which was out at 434 Forest Avenue in the Avondale section of Cincinnati. But when we were down there, and so testimonies were a regular part of the service, this church could hold a few hundred people. But those were the good old days. But I remember those saints would stand up, and for some people, their testimony was the fact that he's clothed me in my right mind. And we have to kind of get back to valuing that, being able to come up with an idea that can change the world, being able to figure out how to solve problems in society, being able to fix major problems in this society like today. I mean, who wouldn't want to solve the problem of drugs in the inner city, or drugs anywhere for that matter? Who wouldn't want to be able to solve the problem of our children going to school hungry, some having to do homework in stairwells and under bridges, you know, just basically homeless? Or who wouldn't want to solve the problem of children who are taken out of the home because of typhus, because parents are ill-equipped to care for their children or to raise them properly or to not abuse them? I saw on Comcast this morning an article there where a woman is facing jail time because her four or five-year-old son was hit by a car. Some of these things are first time happening and ever. Look at the young woman whose daughter went missing for 30 days before she reported it, and then the daughter's body was found. Now they're creating a law that you must report your child missing within such a time. Well, you know, when you watch movies like the Lifetime movies, it was always the exact opposite. You always had parents calling their children missing if they were gone an hour or three or so. And then you would hear the authorities telling these parents, you have to wait at least 24 hours or 48 hours before we can file a complaint, before we can do anything. So whoever thought we'd get to the point where they'd be telling us, the authorities would tell us, you're in the wrong because you didn't file a report. So this is how the problems of society have changed and developed. So right here on the Coach Lalisa Show, you know, this is a show where we seek to empower, to motivate, to inspire, to encourage you to be all that you can be, to be that success, to discover your hidden talents, skills, and abilities, to release the power on your life, in your life, which means that you are self-investing. To release your power, it means that you, but it means so much more than just that. You know, when you release your power, your whole life changes. Your whole life changes. That's why we start even in the book with chapter 1, Choosing to Change. Your life changes when you decide to release your power, when you decide to live up to your fullest potential. What is your fullest potential? Not just what you're good at, not just what you like doing, but your fullest potential. And then going beyond that. And what's going beyond that? You know, Abraham Maslow talked about the five hierarchy of needs, and he got to the fifth one, self-actualization, and that's that living up to your fullest potential educationally, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, your fullest potential in all those key areas. But then there was one more step. Maybe he would have gone another step had he lived longer, could have studied more. But then there's another step beyond self-actualization, and that's the step where you're actually helping others to develop their gifts, explore their gifts, use their gifts. And that's the final frontier, is where you're pouring into other people. And that's the place that I've reached. And so I'm here, and I love it. I thought self-actualization was awesome. It felt great. But this next level is just over the top. It's so over the top, where you get to see people who, just from being in your midst, they begin to explode. And not that we have a big head about it, or we don't even care about it in that sense. But however, you cannot help but to accept what is. You know, it's something about reality, that when you can accept reality, you will have a better life. You know, it's one thing about Jesus. He was real, and he kept it real. And so, you know, I remember he said to the woman with the issue of blood, he said to her, "You who touched me?" You know, and she was afraid. And then eventually, you know, she came clean. I did it. And he's like, "I know somebody touched me because I felt virtue go out of me." You know, he just was so real, and you know. And so how did this virtue come out of her? It was simply her faith. So your faith can draw still on that same him, that same garment. Now it's supernatural, so you don't have a physical garment, but spiritually, in the spirit realm, you can touch the hem. Remember, his train fills the temple, so it can reach all the way from heaven right there in your bedroom, in your living room, your family room, the basement, or wherever you may be, sitting, you can touch it. You can touch it, you can grab hold of it, and it can do the same thing that it did for her, which was it changed her whole life. It made her whole. It made her complete. She was complete relationship-wise. She left there a whole woman. He said to her, "Your faith has made you whole." So that's my little introduction for the show today. Good morning and welcome. I'm going to be talking today about becoming a social entrepreneur. Many of you, there are business entrepreneurs, and then there's the social entrepreneur. And so what's the difference? Now, I've been teaching business classes for about 7 years. And it's easy for me to remember exactly how long, because I got my master's degree in 2002, that winter of 2002. I was finished with school and graduating at that point, rather. And that as soon as they mailed me a letter saying, "You've completed your master's of business. You're going to get your MBA. The degree will come shortly after, but congratulations, you've completed your master's at business administration." I took the letter that they mailed me. I didn't wait for the degree. Okay, I know some people are waiting for things to change in their life. I understand. But I didn't wait for anything to change. I took the letter. It wasn't even the actual degree. It was just the letter stating that I had graduated. I took the letter over to the business department at Essex County College, to Dr. King. I went over to Dr. King, and I said, "Dr. King, hi, my name." He didn't know me. I didn't know, you know, I saw him around the college, but he didn't know me. I said, "Dr. King, my name is Lalisa J. Williams. I just graduated with my master's in business. Here's my letter, and I would love an opportunity to teach at Essex County College." Had not taught many business courses. I had taught a couple of little side classes, but not for an actual department. And so a business department, rather, one of the degrees, and I took it over and I gave it to him, and he said, "Okay, well, we'll see what we can do for January, which was coming the next month, the spring semester. Just so happened there was a woman who had been teaching the 7 o'clock in the morning class. Yeah, that's right, 7 a.m. I'm talking about you're up, you're dressed, you're out of your home, and you're sitting down at the college. And I thought, yuck, what kind of shift is that? That's crazy. I don't like getting up that early. Well, but of course, when you want something, you do, you know, what you have to do. So the lady didn't want to teach it any longer. She had been teaching the course for 2 years, and she was tired of getting up that early, I guess. So they gave it to me. But see, that's the beauty of these kinds of things. Like, some people would have probably said no. Maybe some people would have not even tried. So I go down there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and then that's how I started. Well, once they see, I did that for like 4 semesters, so about 2 years. And then eventually they offered me, you know, classes in the evening. And, of course, I took, so it was like a graduation piece. You could start with the stuff that nobody wants, and then you move up. So then I got some, you know, these things can happen. So I started teaching business, but now I'm learning a lot about the social entrepreneur. It's not new. Just the term is somewhat new, but the actual act of social entrepreneurship is not new. And you may decide, well, maybe I don't want to go into business for myself, but I would like to be a social entrepreneur. So let's talk about that this morning. What is social entrepreneurship? Okay? So what we're going to talk about. Well, the basic definition for a social entrepreneur, they are people who have innovative solutions to society's most pressing social problems. So in other words, where a just regular straight entrepreneur, where they have a desire, you know, in business in some kind of way, right, to fix some type of business problem, right? A social entrepreneur tackles some kind of social problem. Right? So, if you are interested, if say, for instance, like in, you know, business people, you know, they, entrepreneurs, want to change how business is done. So they may, for instance, American Airlines, JetBlue, you know, they want to do business in the airline industry or the transportation industry. McDonald's, they're in the food industry. Dunkin' Donuts, they're in the fast food breakfast industry. And you, as a social entrepreneur, you would be in the social industry, changing how society is being done, so to speak. Okay, and then they would call this social entrepreneurship. Now, here are some major examples of social entrepreneurship. For instance, Susan B. Anthony. She fought for women's rights in the United States, including the right to control property, and she helped spearhead adoption of the 19th Amendment. You have also in Italy, you had this Dr. Maria Montessori. She developed the Montessori approach to early childhood education, which is still being her. If you go study education, you have to study this Dr. Maria and the Montessori type style of education. Then we have in the UK, Florence Nightingale. She's the founder of modern nursing. She established the first school for nurses and fought to improve hospital conditions. So you see, social entrepreneurship is where people want to be an agent of change in society. Now, is there anything in, like, okay, regular entrepreneurs want to change kind of way. Whether you're FedEx, you might be IBM, you could be General Motors, but you want to change the face of business. You want to change the and provide some kind of business model for your product or service. Well, social entrepreneurs, they want to change society. They look for opportunities, okay, to improve various societal systems. Sometimes they invent new approaches. Sometimes they create solutions to change for the better, okay? While business people look to maybe add a whole new industry. Again, we know, remember you have the whole, all the games that we have from the Atari on up. Okay, before we didn't have such a thing as a handheld game. Or cell phones. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have computers and laptop on the desk. And then Microsoft came by, and Bill Gates and these people came by and said, let's get computers on everybody's desk. You know, they had big computers. You remember back in the day, you had that one big room with all the computers in it. And at that point, not everybody, but a lot of people just wanted to go learn key punching. That was when I was a teenager. Let's see, back in the 70s, the early 70s, mid 70s, my dream was to get out of high school and get a job as a key punch operator. Unfortunately, I did not graduate high school, and so I had to take a different route. But that was my dream job. So instead of getting the job as the key punch operators, who made a little bit more, I had to take the job as a file clerk. But eventually, key punch operating went out of style, and then they began to get the keyboarding and some other tools, you know, spreadsheets, Excel. And before Excel, of course, they had Power. They had Lotus 1-2-3. I'm not sure what they had before Lotus. So as businesses seek to change, entrepreneurs seek to change industries and create new industries, add to them, innovate them, what have you. Social entrepreneurs seek to create or change society and its systems. Social entrepreneurs, they try to come up with new solutions to social problems and then implement them on a large scale, like with the early childhood education. It would be a huge, huge social problem if children could not learn, could not read, could not do math. So they needed a solution to help children. Same thing with the nursing field. It would be a huge societal problem if there were not nurses. You know, I think about the many nurses that are in hospitals. Doctors wouldn't be able to do what they do without the help of a nurse. And so this is the work of the social entrepreneur. They're not just seeking to change industries and businesses, but they're doing it from a social standpoint, some social problem. So if you want to know more about becoming a social entrepreneur, if this sounds like something you would enjoy doing, you see, then, you know, here's the door. We're opening it up for you right here on the Coach Lalisa Show. We're informing you. We're telling you about it. And now you can go and do the investigation and find out more. You know, social entrepreneurs have decided that they're not going to leave social problems for the government to fix or for the business sector to try to fix. You know, businesses are busy trying to change the industries for which they are in. But social entrepreneurs, they find out, you know, in society what's not working, and they try to find the problem. They try to solve the problem by either changing that system are spreading the solution to greater societies. Okay? Remember, social entrepreneurs, they want to change society on a great scale, on very large scales. They have their ideas, they're committed in whatever field they're in. Just like the examples I gave, Susan B. Anthony, Dr. Montessori, when these individuals are committed, they have a vision, they want to change what they do. They want to change what they do. They want to change the world. They want to change society. They are committed. They are visionaries. And they want a better world. And they don't want to wait for government to do it, social entrepreneurs. They don't want to wait for businesses to do it. They are a social entrepreneur. And these social entrepreneurs, they represent ideas that are, you know, user-friendly, things that you can understand. Their ideas are ethical. Become an entrepreneur, either in the business world or in the social world. It's your choice. Now, see, we didn't have that choice before. Nobody was really talking about it. Okay? You can, you know, see if you have the ability to become a social entrepreneur. You know, you're going to need some of the same skills that any entrepreneur needs. You still need to be creative. You still have to have these certain entrepreneurial qualities, characteristics, ethics, dignity. You still have to be able to nurture yourself, be a leader, be a risk taker. You also must be a person who can come up with an idea. Right? So becoming a social entrepreneur is within your reach. If that's something that you desire to do, then you should look into it further, becoming a social entrepreneur. If you want to change society in a big way, look at children that are being taken out of the home. Look at senior citizens that don't have anyone to fight for them. Look at what's happening now in social security even. Lots of people threatened that they may not even get a social security check this coming month in August. Think about ideas and ways that you can affect change. Okay? So becoming a social entrepreneur, remember, you're a person. What is a social entrepreneur? It's a person. It's an entrepreneur. You have a business. You set it up like a business. The difference is you recognize some kind of social problem, and then you use the same principles that an entrepreneur would use to create change. Okay? You're not going to measure your performance in terms of profit. Right? But you will focus on creating a better society. That will be your aim. That will be that's how you will determine how successful you are as a social entrepreneur. Not so much with dollars and profit, but how far your reach is spreading. If your idea should be so big that it spreads from, you know, maybe one city to the whole area, the whole region, and then the whole country, and then spread around the world. Social entrepreneurs, that's how you determine your growth and your success, not through money. Okay? You're creating what's called social capital, not financial capital. So how widespread is your, look at early childhood today. Starting out is a very small event, but look at how large it's worldwide. It's everywhere. okay? This early childhood education. So, you know, being a social entrepreneur, you might say, well, how did it get started? What's the history? Well, some of the history is that it was first used somewhere in the 1960s and 70s, okay? But then the term became more widespread in the 1980s and 90s. Now, I remember being in school, they talked about it just very, very little as I was working on my entrepreneur degree, the business degree, that they barely mentioned it. It was just mentioned like maybe in one half of a paragraph in our business book because I was in school around 1998. So it had already been out there, but not widely used. And still today, you don't hear the term as often as you hear entrepreneur, okay? But more and more people are starting to be considered social entrepreneurs. We have a man right here in New Jersey, Mr. Don Franco. He is a social entrepreneur expert. He wrote a book called The Fam-Do Way. As a matter of fact, I did have him on my radio show once a while ago, and I do have a copy of his book, and he has this social entrepreneur idea, and he studied it, and he was in the pharmaceutical business before he started his social entrepreneurship. Yeah, Mr. Don Franco, you can look him up right here on Facebook. He's on Facebook, Don Franco. And we'll probably have him on again at some point in time. He can come on and share more about what he does, his work, and how he's changing the communities. And see, that's it. You don't become a social entrepreneur and have some idea, and then after a couple of years, it dies out. No, your idea has to be far-reaching, very large, and able to, you know, be sustained. So it needs to be sustainable. But a lot of nonprofits and non-governmental organizations, you know, even foundations and governments and individuals are playing a key role to promote, to fund, and to advise social entrepreneurs around the planet. Today, a growing number of even colleges and universities are establishing programs that focus on educating and training social entrepreneurs, and this we didn't have in the past. In Springfield, Ohio, for instance, they recently established a partnership between the Entrepreneurship Department and Village Markets of Africa, and they allow their students this hands-on experience with organizations working directly with producers. Okay, in 2002 in the UK, seven leading nonprofit organizations established something called UNLTD. It's a foundation for social entrepreneurs, and right now they have $100 million endowment especially to invest in their entrepreneurs there. Okay? So if you're interested and you want to find out more about it, you can go online and, you know, type in the word. It's a lot of research you got to do because it's a very big topic now. But you can go online. I'm telling you, it's one way. Your organization would look probably like a nonprofit. It would be set up like that. But social entrepreneur, you are saying that you want to fix society's problems, not just open up a new industry or expand in a new industry or innovate in a new industry as a business. You're saying that I want to make it my business to solve some social problem. So, for instance, the George Foundations, they have a women's empowerment program, and their program empowers women by giving them education, cooperative farming, vocational training, savings and how to plan for savings, and business development. So there's all these different kinds of things that you can do. And so the George Foundation was established in 1995 in India. In India. So, you know, it seems like the rest of the world, you know, it's already very heavily involved with social entrepreneurship, whether they want to help alleviate poverty, they want to promote health, a clean environment. See, these are some of the areas that you would work in if you were doing social entrepreneurship. Now, if you have any questions about it, please feel free. You can either type in the chat room or you can pick up the phone and dial 347-945-7991 and we can have a discussion about it. Talk about social entrepreneurship. It's a great way. As a matter of fact, let's check out and see what our friend Don is up to these days. Don Franco, who is the first person that I met that is into social entrepreneurship. Okay, so let's see what he's about. And like I said, he's right here locally in New Jersey. Easy to get a hold of him. And if you go to his Facebook page, you'll see him there riding on a bull over in New York. You know where the bull is? Over in New York. Near, I'm not sure exactly what's close to it, but it's over, I think, I don't know if that's the, I guess that's the downtown area. But yeah, he's out there, he's doing big things. He's, you know, still into his social, just being a social entrepreneur. He's relaunching his website, all right, and his empowerment agenda. Because, you know, at the base of social entrepreneurship is empowerment. You know, empowering people to change their lives. That's what we talk about all the time. Empowering people to change their lives. Whether it's educationally, financially, health-wise. You see, these are the three key areas. And then, of course, the environment. But that the environment is also a part of the health part. If you're changing someone, as you know, as their health improves, as the environment improves, so will people's health improve as well. So, yeah, Don Franco is doing big things with his social entrepreneurship. And if this is something that you're interested in, I thought as we talk about being an entrepreneur, I said let's not leave out the social entrepreneur, okay? Let's throw that in for individuals who may say, well, I'm not just interested in opening up another avenue in business or industry, but you really have some social desire. There's youth social entrepreneurship. That's starting to get out there. Young people are starting to want to solve social problems. And they should, because they're a large part of a lot of the problems in society today. So all of this killing one another and not taking advantage of what's right in front of their faces, the education that they have. So, yes, not taking on the leadership roles that they could. So, yes, they should get a voice actively involved. But, so even the young people are getting involved, taking a stand. And you should, you know, look into it at least. At least be familiar with it. Know what it is. Well, now you at least know what it is. It's entrepreneurship with a social twist to it, in other words. You are committed to fixing one or more of society's problems. Okay? Entrepreneurship, social entrepreneurship, is when you're looking to fix a problem in society. Okay? you recognize a problem, and you want to commit your life, you want to dedicate your life to fixing it. Okay? So now let's see, let's go over some various people that are, well, we gave you some of them, Susan B. Anthony, Maria Montessori. She developed the Montessori approach to early childhood education. Florence Nightingale, which was the founder of modern nursing. John Muir, who was a naturalism conservationist. You know, he established the National Park System and helped found the Sierra Club right here in the United States. What did Frederick Law Olmsted do? Well, he was the creator of the of major urban parks. Now, some of you remember back in the day, there was a song that they said, it was very popular back in the day, Rock Creek Park, oh yeah, doing it in the dark, doing it in the park, oh yeah. Remember that song? Well, the creator of that was a social entrepreneur by the name of Frederick Law Olmsted. He created major urban parks, including that park. How about New York City? Right there in New York, right near Harlem. If not, part of it probably goes through Harlem. Central Park. Everybody knows Central Park. The whole world knows Central Park. And this is the work of this same entrepreneur, Frederick Law Olmsted. You see, he wasn't interested in just making a lot of money, but he was interested in changing society. Well, these parks cause society to feel better, to have open air spaces to go where there's greenery in the midst of a lot of cement. And so that is would be the work of a social entrepreneur. In Montreal, he created the Mount Royal Park. And he also generally considered, he was considered to have developed the profession of landscape. In this country, so. Wonderful, wonderful. Also in the United States, there's Gifford Pinchot. He's the champion of the forest as a multiple-use environment. He helped found the Yale School of Forestry and created the United States Forest Service and served as its first chief. Then there's a Margaret Sanger. What did she do? Well, she was the founder of the Planned Parenthood Federation of America. She led the movement for family planning efforts around the world. So remember what we said, the social entrepreneur, they're looking to do big things, you know, not just little neighborhood things, but they want it to be big, they want it to spread. All right? So social entrepreneur, so again, it's not new. The term, they started using the term in the 1960s or 70s when the term was coined, but people have been doing the kind of work for forever. You know, Jesus was a social entrepreneur for that matter, and so was Moses. Moses changed the lives of all the children of Israel, of which you are a seed. So you are a seed of Abraham, those same children that were in slavery. So that's the kind of work that a social entrepreneur would do, is find something in society where there's a problem. Look at the problem. Now, we have a lot of problems. I think there are some people who have shows and they write papers and articles and dissertations on the problems of society. There are many. You can pick one. You can pick more than one and you can solve it. And so there, if you want to know what are some of the entrepreneurs of today, present day social entrepreneurs, well, here in the U.S., there is a youth venture that was created by Bill Drayton, Youth Venture and Get America Working. Then there's Marion Wright Elderman. She was the founder and president of the Children's Defense Fund, an advocate for disadvantaged Americans and children. There's also Pamela Hardingen. She's the founding partner of Volans Ventures and founding managing director of the Swamp Foundation. I'm sure you heard of that. Most people have heard of that. So many, many different projects that are going on around the world and in this country and other countries in Russia. There's the Gennady Afrenko is the founder of the Foundation for Social Inventions and Foundation for Social Innovations. In Bangladesh, Mohammed Yunus is the founder of Microcredit and the Grameen Bank. In 2006, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. So, not only here in the United States, but all around the world. You know, we are a global society. We've been a global society for a long time now. And so, this is good. This is almost over 20 years we've been a global society, meaning that we try to have partnerships, we try to have relationships, we try to have peace globally. And we interact, we do business, we trade, we buy, we import, we export. We do shows like Blog Talk Radio, which also is a global show. You know, we have people calling in from Japan, Africa, and all over the world. And by the way, since I mentioned Japan, I just want to give a shout out to our good friend, Mr. Paul Kiriazi, who is actually in the United States right now working on some very special projects. And as soon as he gets back to, as soon as he gets back, because he's in the California area, so you know it's about 4 o'clock there. But as soon as he gets back to Japan, he will be tuning in. You know, he's always such a pleasure, as you all are, to have in our studio each and every week. He tunes in. He's just really a delightful character. And he is the author of the James Bond, Living the James Bond Lifestyle, which I always love. So please make sure that if you are interested in social entrepreneurship, go for it. You know, hey, live your dream. Live your fullest potential. Now, I also want to tell you about very, very, very important event that's happening today. Today at 8 o'clock p.m., you know, we're doing our social media tour, first ever tour done. You heard it right here on the Coastal Elisa Show. No one has ever done a social media tour that I know of and posted it. So we are the absolute first to do a social media tour. We launched it on the 12th of July. Launched right there on Facebook under the Empower to Release My Power site. Every site that we go on has a feature to do a group. So we create a group called Empower to Release My Power. We're doing the Release Your Power social media tour. So we have the book, we have the conference, we now have the workbook, and now we're going to be, and now we have the tour, and then from there we have the journey. The Release Your Power journey, and that's coming, and it's awesome that we're going to be going around the country teaching people how to release their power, showing them the steps on how to live their fullest potential, how to birth their gifts, their talents, their skills, and abilities, and we're going to be doing it on LinkedIn tonight at 8. So the tour stops tonight. Is LinkedIn. That's www.linkedin.com. It's much like Facebook, but it's for professionals only. No one's on there playing around, talking about when they went and took a shower and how they went out for drinks. None of that. It's all business related. Everyone on there is posting about a company that they're hiring for, or they're posting some kind of question to help them further their business idea or grow their personal or professional self. That's what they do on there. Yep. So definitely that's what is happening on LinkedIn tonight. It's one of the stops in the social media tour. We've had several stops so far. We stopped at on Blog Talk Radio. We stopped on Facebook, and we stopped. Now we're stopping with LinkedIn. And next month we got a whole another. This is the last week of the month. We have a whole another set of lineups. So please make sure you follow the stops. Join us on this first ever social media tour. It's been exciting. It's been exciting to all the places we stopped. Some of these places, well, Blog Talk, I'm here all the time. Facebook, I'm here all the time. But certainly I'm not always on LinkedIn. So it's great and wonderful to stop there. We already have feedback from people wanting to know about the tour, what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to be talking about employee engagement, how to engage your employees. You know, in this poor economic times, in this time of recession, now more than ever, employers need to come up with ways to engage their employees. They can't, you know, they can't use money as an incentive now because a lot of companies are not giving raises. A lot of companies are not giving bonuses. I remember the company I was at before, they cut out tuition reimbursement and many of the perks that they had to cut back so that they didn't have to lay people off. So how do you engage your employee now? So we're going to have some fun. We're going to play a few games. We're going to do some trivia, do some giveaways on this social media tour and empowering people to release their power, to live at their fullest potential, to dream big. Okay? So when you go to LinkedIn, you'll set up, it's a professional site, you'll set up a profile page, and what you'll find there is you will find there are groups. So what I want you to do is I want you to look for the group, Empowered to Release My Power. So I'm keeping that group name so that people can remember it. So come there, and we look forward to having you. We can't wait. We have Paul Kirazi already signed in and said he is looking forward to he's looking forward to being part of this group. We have myself. We have Grace Smart. And then there's a couple other people that said they wanted to tune in tonight. So that's going to be exciting. And you know, I got a few messages from some people. So that's pretty exciting. And I can't wait. I look forward. I hope you can make it. Come on over to LinkedIn. It's a highly professional social network on the internet. And it's www.linkedin.com. So we will be there having a great time. And as we continue our social media tour, also don't forget to stop by Facebook. Stop by the group, the Women's Empowerment Book Club. Make some posts there. If you've read the book, Release Your Power, please make a post or comment or question about some part of the book. If you have not, if you have read the book, please, if you even have the book, get the book out, find something in the book, and go to the Facebook and the Women's Empowerment Book Club, on their group, and make a post about the book. Keep that discussion going. We're the author of the month there. But also, there is other things that are coming up as well. But if you have not gotten the book, please purchase a copy of the book to help support the work that we're doing. We're empowering people all over the world right here on the radio show. We know hundreds and hundreds of people are coming to the show, being empowered, finding out how to change their lives. And it's just a small way to give back if we just ask you to sow just a $15 seed to get the book, Release Your Power. Well, we appreciate you. And we look forward for the great things that are going to be done. Have a powerful, powerful, powerful day. And don't forget, your goals will take you to the destiny
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.